Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Here's what's going to happen. I am going to have to fix you, manage you to, on a more personal scale, a more micro form of management. What is that called?
Microgerment.
Boom. Yes.
It's Mike Shope.
What is your name, sir?
I am Bill Buttlicker.
And the Bulldog.
Really? That's your real name?
How dare you? My family built this country, by the way.
It's Mike Shope.
The three words I would describe you as is aggressive,
yes.
Hostile, and definitely difficult.
And the Bulldog.
Well, I like the sound of your voice.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
How often do you bother to review products, service? You get that text or email. How did we do? Oh. How often do you respond to those?
Never. I think never.
Even if somebody or something like really wins you over, then will you at least take the 30 seconds? Not even then.
I did.
Tough crowd.
I did. I tried one time. I don't want to say the company, but they sent me a thing. I tried. I filled out a form, and then it sent me to have to – I needed to set up an account with some other – like, I had to join – whatever. I needed to – all right, now I'm done. I'm out. This could not be facilitated simply by you sending me that message and me checking the boxes that you needed me to check. I now had to do another hoop jump that was going to involve you sending me a code. No, I'm sorry. I'm done.
This one, I want to do a review, and I'm almost done with it, but then it wants me to enter a nickname.
Oh, my gosh.
And then have it be posted somewhere, and I'm out. I don't want anybody to know.
Right.
I don't want anybody else to know, even though I thought the product was excellent. With us now on the – I don't know why I wouldn't want people to know that, but I don't. Mm-hmm. On the West Shore Hotline is Zach Stevens to talk about the Broncos, a playoff team last year. Their season ended here, but I would think, Zach, a good season overall. Would anybody say different?
Yeah, no, a great season for the Broncos. Guys, they were expected to win the second fewest games in the NFL last year. Their over-under was 5.5. Then they went to make the playoffs, have 10 wins. First time they made the playoffs since 2015 when Peyton Manning was the quarterback. So, yeah, I mean, I know the Bills absolutely beat the Broncos down, and it didn't end in the fashion they wanted. But the season certainly was a wild success in Denver. Now the sky is the Broncos are really hoping to extend and build off of last season. And, guys, we'll see how this phone call goes and what sort of review I'll be leaving you at.
Well, I don't like for us how it started because I've already referenced the playoff loss. But, Zach, I didn't mean that to be shade. I would ask you, I think we talked before that game, did you give a thought to the Broncos maybe winning? Like, it started great for Denver with the long touchdown to Franklin, and I don't know if Bills fans ever really got nervous, but maybe a Denver fan would have gotten pretty excited at that point.
Oh, certainly. I mean, when you're up 7-0 in a playoff game and with a rookie quarterback, so you're kind of feeling like you have nothing to lose at that point in the game, it did feel like, oh my gosh, they could actually win this game. And going into the game, guys, I was in Buffalo for the game at the stadium, and I went and talked to a lot of Bills fans at some tailgates leading up to the game, and it was just crazy how it felt like the Bills were overlooking the Broncos, and then they went and proved that was absolutely right, that they should have been overlooking them. So I would say Broncos fans had a little more hope than Bills fans were nervous for that game, and it makes sense. I mean, we saw it play out. the rest of the game. It wasn't just the Broncos offense couldn't do anything after that. Broncos defense couldn't stop what the Bills wanted to do. And in fact, it just seemed like the Bills kind of shut it down and were still able to do what they wanted to do. And so that was the reality and the eye-opening that the Broncos need to say, okay, we had a great year, but we still have a couple of steps that we need to take. And then I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but after that game in the season-ending press conference, Sean Payton actually took a shot at the Chiefs. He said, if we would have beat the Bills, we felt really good about the next game, which, of course, would have been the Broncos playing the Chiefs the following week. So Sean might think that the Bills are better than the Chiefs.
I've heard that. We could make an argument.
The way last year went, I mean.
The Bills just lose to them is all. That was the Scott Van Pelt line about the Chiefs, how they're so beatable, they just never lose.
So we're going into year two now with Knicks. How much of a surprise would you say last year was? I mean, you mentioned what the expectations were in the win totals. You know, at this time last year, Knicks was, I think, still at this point somewhat of a surprising selection where Sean Payton and the Broncos decided to do that. But obviously, it has worked. I mean, I'm not expecting that they're taking any kind of a victory lap. But how much of a, I don't know, bolt of lightning was the whole thing?
Oh, 100%. I mean, outside of Sean Payton, and Sean Payton never doubted Bo Nix, but pretty much everyone else had rightful questions. The sixth quarterback taken with the 12th overall pick in the draft, that is crazy. That's something literally we've never seen before. And then Bo is a guy who did play 61 starts in college, so he had the experience, but still, no one expected him to be the second-best quarterback in this draft class as a rookie. But now can he build on that and continue that pace? Because he set records for his rookie season that he had. He and Jaden Daniels rightfully won Rookie of the Year, but Bo was just right behind him. Now can he take that next step? That's going to be, okay, is he in that elite tier, or is he just in that good tier? Or even if the NFL punches back even more, do the Broncos need to look for another guy? But I'll tell you what, every indication is that he is the franchise quarterback for the Broncos, but year two is always that big step.
One thing about him that had, you know, why he, one reason why he had his doubters was his age, right? I mean, we're almost through this era of college football where guys were playing 5 or 6 years. Now it's Tyler Shug, who's played like 6 or 7 years of college football coming into the league, you know, mid-20s. And would you say, Zach, that was a big advantage in the end for Knicks? Like, I feel like that's probably right, that what he might have lacked in kind of the pop you might get from a younger quarterback where you just see them right away and they're undeniable. Instead, maybe somebody who just maybe better than other guys would have known what he was walking into.
Yeah, 100%. Definitely that. And on top of that, he had already been through 5 different offensive coordinators in the past 4 seasons at college football. So he knew how to make a transition, not just from an offense, a different offense and schemes and coordinators and play callers, but also different programs, since he went from Auburn to Oregon and then to the NFL. I do think that really helped his transition. And the crazy thing about his age, just to put it in perspective, Pat Surtain, the defensive player of the year last year, is 25 years old. Bo Nix is 25 years old, and he only has 1 year under his belt. It's just crazy how much experience he has. And I mentioned it earlier, the 61 career starts that he had in college is the most ever by any player, let alone a quarterback. So he had the experience coming in, and that's just why what makes this year two so interesting, because the NFL sophomore slumps are a thing. Even though C.J. Stroud went and won a playoff game last year, he had a little bit of a sophomore slump. With Bo, people are wondering, okay, was that his peak last year, or can he continue to build off of that? And that's what makes it so fascinating, because the age definitely, I have to think, helped him last year. But in terms of a negative with his age, I'm not really worried about it. You know, if he plays 2 fewer seasons in the NFL because he was 24 when he came in, that just still means he played a 12-year career and isn't a big deal. But I do think that age helped him last year.
Well, one way to certainly facilitate a guy taking a step from year one to year two is to surround them with new talent, more talent. And I don't know, what are the returns on that? There's a second-round running back, a third-round receiver, and Evan Engram at tight end. There's not a lot of new. I'm looking at the Our Lads depth chart page, and there's not a lot of color on the Broncos page. It's all like the the guys that were there before are the majority of the starters on that page.
Color is new players.
Color is new players. Pink is draft picks, and orangish yellow is free agents.
No, you're absolutely right, and that's a big head-scratcher for a lot of Broncos fans. A lot of them thought that the receiver position was the biggest need that they had. A lot of people were banging the table for the Broncos to draft a receiver in the first round, and okay, if they don't go receiver, they've got to go running back in the first round. And oh, fine, if they don't go running back, they have to go tight end in the first round. They need to add more for both, and then the Broncos go with defense, which just threw everyone off. In fact, they went with the cornerback, who I mentioned. The Broncos have the defensive player of the year at cornerback with Pat Surtain, and another really good cornerback with Riley Moss. So for the most part, this receiver group is the exact same as it was in Buffalo last year. And you guys probably didn't feel too threatened out there in Buffalo with the receiver room, but Sean Payton is the highest of anyone in the world on this receiver room. There is a lot of young depth in that room, so they're going to have to develop, and that is on Sean to develop him and on Bo to develop him. But the biggest addition that they made was Evan Engram. This is a guy that caught 114 passes 2 years ago with the Jags. He wasn't able to stay fully healthy last year, so that is a question mark this year. But he's a guy that's never had 1,000 receiving yards. If he stays healthy, he is going to have 1,000 receiving yards. He is going to have 10 touchdowns. He is going to be the focal point of not just the tight end room for the Broncos, but in the entire receiving room for the Broncos. I think he's going to be Bo Nix's number one weapon. And then with the running back position, R.J. Harvey, the Broncos had the worst running back room in the NFL last year, and it's not even close. Their leading rusher, Javonte Williams, had 514 rushing yards. Their leading rusher, 514 rushing yards. That is just terrible. And they don't even have him anymore. So R.J. Harvey, their second-round running back, he is going to have to be the starter and have to take a big leap. This is a guy that has had 3,000 rushing yards over the past two seasons, over 40 rushing touchdowns. Now, it was at UCF, but he is going to be the Broncos' starting running back. And honestly, he might be the X factor. Outside of Bo Nix, he's probably the X factor of the team this year. If he turns into be a really good rookie running back, the Broncos are going to take another step in that in the right direction. If not, and it's all on Bo Nix's shoulders, man, that's going to be tough to do in a second season.
Harvey is interesting, as you mentioned, huge numbers, and maybe I would say was drafted a little earlier than most expected. But you know, Peyton's guy here. Would you expect him to play? I mean, what, first down, second down? I feel like Peyton is always using multiple players, Jaleel McLaughlin maybe again, or Estime. Yeah, Williams was kind of bad, and doesn't surprise me they moved on. He's with Dallas. Or that they drafted a running back. I just wonder how much Harvey will play.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. It's a fair question. And Sean has always had two running backs, even when he had Reggie Bush, even when he had Mark Ingram, he still drafted Alvin Kamara, right. And then those guys split time. So he is not going to be a three-down running back where he's on the field 90% of the time. But he should be on the field the majority of the time. 60-40 split with someone else, and we'll see who that is. They hope Audric Estime, who's a big running back, takes a step up. But guys, you didn't see Audric Estime in the playoffs last year because he didn't even get a jersey. He was inactive, a healthy scratch, which just shows you where the Broncos running back room was last year when they just didn't even have a number one option. They didn't have a number two option. And so that's why R.J. Harvey, the door is wide open for him to take and run with it. And just to show you how Sean views him, you're right. A lot of people thought R.J. Harvey was overdrafted. Sean has drafted four running backs in the top 100 in his career. One was Reggie Bush. One was Mark Ingram, both first-round picks. The other was Alvin Kamara, a third-round pick, who turned into way better than a third-round pick. And the fourth is R.J. Harvey. So that's the high expectations that Sean has for him. Sean doesn't go out and draft running backs in the top 100 often. He's only done it three other times, and those three were all successes for the most part. So there's a lot on R.J. Harvey's shoulders, whether it's right or fair or not.
The story I remember from the playoff game was that Tyler Bidet, he used to be Tyler Beatty, but then he changed his name to Bidet, maybe the pronunciation, that he was thought of as a better is that what happened? He was thought of as a better fit for the matchup, but he really didn't play either, as I remember. So I don't know if there's something else to it, to what they did there.
No, I mean, that's exactly it. And when these things happen, especially being around Sean for a couple of years, it just means that I don't think he trusted Audric Estime. Audric Estime, when he played last season, he had a couple of...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin, or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Fumbles early. In fact, his second career carry was a fumble. And the next week, he somehow ends up on injured reserve, where none of us were able to see the injury happen. So I just don't think Sean trusted him. And that's why he has a big opportunity to become the number two running back, because there wasn't a number one last year. There wasn't a number two last year. And now the Broncos should have a number one, but they're still going to need a number two, because Sean has always used the two-back system.
The receiver ad is Pat Bryant, who was picked, I think, in the third round. Mm-hmm. And we dug pretty deep on these guys. And talk about receiver every day because it's the law. But never really talked about him once. I think having kind of a boring name can work against your Bulldog. Like Pat Bryant's maybe is somebody you'd forget. But what are the expectations for him? That was also somewhat of a surprising pick.
Well, don't laugh at me, because this is the comp that Sean Payton used after the Broncos drafted him. And speaking of boring names, he pulled out a boring name of Michael Thomas.
Yes.
Now, it's crazy to say, and I love it. Sean says, this guy reminds me of Michael Thomas. I don't want to put those expectations on him, but, man, he's got everything that Michael had coming out of college. And it's like, oh, wow, you are really putting the pressure on this kid right now. And that's what Sean sees in him. He sees a big body receiver that can dominate within 5 to 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. He ran a really slow 40. So that's why you guys probably didn't pay attention to him. He ran a 4.6140, and that really dropped him on draft boards. And a lot of the league, the initial talk about him was that he was overdrafted. So I'm not surprised that he wasn't really on anyone's boards, especially coming out of Illinois. That's not really a program. They throw the ball much. But Sean loves the physical tools he has, specifically being able to win at the line of scrimmage. And Michael Thomas holds the record for most catches in a season. That's kind of the role that they expect for Pat Bryant. Isn't catching balls 20, 30 yards down the field. It's a lot of catches that go for just a couple of yards each. But he's a rookie. We're going to have to see. Sean hasn't had an issue playing rookie receivers in the past, but I'm curious to see if he trusts him enough, because like we talked about, the Broncos needed receiver help, and this was the only move they made this offseason.
Yeah, there's got to be a lot of this sentiment within the fan base, I would think, as it pertains to Payton. We're talking about a running back that maybe was drafted earlier than was expected, and then a receiver drafted maybe earlier than was expected, and I bet a lot of Bronco fans are just like, well, he was right about Knicks. I mean, I don't know, right? Just fold your arms, just like, in Payton we trust.
Yep, that's exactly it. It's exactly that sentiment. And Payton, we trust with the Broncos fan base. And it probably wouldn't be like that if he didn't have last year. But he does have last year. And there was so much trust in Sean Payton last year when the Broncos took on $80 million in dead cap with Russell Wilson and then went out and made the playoffs. So he's earned that trust. But there is a lot of trust there of him being able to develop these younger players, because you guys are right. The Broncos made more they put more emphasis on building the defense up this offseason than the offense. And the defense was the third best scoring defense in the NFL last year.
Zach Stevens, our guest on the Western Hotline for just a couple more minutes from DNVR Broncos. You can follow him on Twitter at Zach Stevens DNVR. How about the AFC West? Fascinating, I think. I like Denver more than the Chargers. I have a bad feeling about the Chargers. Greg Roman kind of wears thin, but Harbaugh has only had winning teams, so we'll see. Chiefs are the Chiefs, and the Raiders are maybe interesting for the first time in many years. How about how you see the division this year, Zach?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tight division, and I think all four teams are going to be within just a couple of games of each other. They're probably all going to beat each other up, and this is the time for a team outside of the Chiefs to win the entire AFC, because I think the Chiefs are going to get beat up in the AFC West. I could see every team honestly going 3-3 within the division. Maybe one's 4-2, one's 2-4, but I don't think the Chiefs are going to come out and be 15-2 this year because of how much the AFC West has taken a step up. Unfortunately, for the Broncos' perspective, there's no easy games in the AFC West anymore. The Raiders, they have stability, finally, at pretty much every position across the board, including, most importantly, the head coach. And then the Chargers, I agree with you. Justin Herbert is just not – he's a good quarterback, but he's a good quarterback in September and October. He has not proven once that he is that guy in December and January. In fact, he has a fantastic season last year and then goes out and throws four interceptions, more than he had in the regular season in one playoff game. So I actually trust Bo more than I trust Justin Herbert right now. And so it's honestly comes down to Bo. How much of a leap does he take? Can the Broncos actually be competing with the Chiefs? Because I do believe the Broncos should have the best defense in the NFL this season. They added two huge pieces in Dre Greenlaw and Talanoa Hufanga, and then used their first-round pick on defense as well. So a lot of pressure on Vance Joseph's shoulders, the defensive coordinator here in Denver, to be elite. And if not, I actually see this going one of two ways for Vance Joseph. I don't think he's back with the Broncos in 2026 because I think he either gets a head coaching job or he gets fired and the Broncos move to someone else to replace him there. So it's going to be a very fascinating season from Bo Nix to see if they can compete with the Chiefs and then also with the defense and Vance Joseph to see how good they are.
Well, there's got to be a lot of our audience that is nodding along as you're saying the division's going to be that much harder because we were anticipating that. Boy, whenever Davante Adams got to the Raiders, like, oh, the division is going to start. Russell Wilson is in Denver. The Chargers have Herbert. It's going to get so hard on the Chiefs, and all they've ever done is just lord over it. Not like Bills fans should be complaining. The state of the AFC East right now is, you know, the Bills have got a pretty easy trip ahead of them, we think, again, for a second year in a row. But music to our ears if that division out there toughens up.
Yeah, unfortunately, guys, it's not the first time that I've said this about the Chiefs. I think everyone in Denver and Colorado and probably across the country thought the Chiefs were going to be on a slight rebuild when they traded Tyreek Hill. And then they went on, what was that, back-to-back Super Bowls?
Yeah.
So maybe we're all just dreaming of a world in which the Chiefs come back to earth. But I do really think the AFC West is going to give the Chiefs more struggles this year than they have in recent memory.
Zach, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your spring and summer, and we might connect again once we get closer to the season.
That sounds great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Zach Stevens on the Broncos. Yes, the AFC West. I think there's one team that's not in the AFC West, but is in the AFC, narrowing it down,
mm-hmm.
narrowed it to 12,
mm-hmm.
that I think we've been too easy on in the power rankings.
Really?
Yes. You want to hear about it?
I got nothing else to do.
Well, you could choose to hear about something else, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, I'm
I'll keep it short.
Take as long as you want. I'm happy to hear.
2.5 hours?
Go nuts.
All right. I will go nuts after the update, 803-0550, on a particular AFC team that I think, it hit me today how bad they're going to be. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Lines are open for you. Practices, James Cook not here, the Diggs drama in New England today. We would love to talk to some fans, and we will hope to do that after the update here on WGR.
Benford is really good the last couple of years. He was 18th in my coverage DVOA 2 years ago. He was fourth last year, and that involves coverage on every play. So it's measuring not just what you allow per target, but how often you're targeted. So he's not targeted very much. And when he is targeted, he's very good. And I don't think people realize how good Benford is. He's so good that I actually put him on my Defensive Player of the Year ballot last year. I had him fifth. He's not one, but it's pretty good.
Aaron Schatz. I am a fan of his. And if he put Christian Benford on his Defensive Player of the Year ballot, I bet it was deserved. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Aaron was on One Bills Live. We just got done talking to our guest from Denver, Zach Stevens. R.J. Harvey, the running back they drafted, one of many running backs. Remember the days before the weeks, months before the draft, talking about all these different players? Running back really didn't dwell on. I wanted to. Bulldog said no because the Bills were not going to draft one. He said, and if they only would if they were worried
really
about James
worried
Cook.
About Cook, yeah.
And they did not draft one. Harvey, one of a dozen guys or so that you could have put in any order outside of like the top four. He might have gone fifth, actually. So I called up his page when Zach was on. 6.8 yards per carry last year for Central Florida and 22 rushing touchdowns, 131 yards per game. I was pretty sure, and I see now that it does say on Pro Football Reference that the bold type means when a player leads the conference, his conference, in stats. But I didn't realize, I wasn't sure of that right away. So I called up Ashton Gentry just to see, like, wait, he's got bold print for yards per attempt, 6.8, and touchdowns, 22. Harvey, did he really have more than Ashton Gentry? No.
They're not in the same conference.
They're not in the same conference. Gentry had, so Harvey went for 1577 in 12 games. Huge, right? Imagine that in the NFL.
It's a monster year, yeah.
That'd be on pace to break the record.
Yep.
Gentry had 1,000 more rushing yards than that. 2,601 and 29 rushing touchdowns on 7 yards per carry. I love that Ross Tucker, who was on with us before the draft, everybody was in love with Gentry. Generational prospect. Is he better than Bijan? Maybe. Is he better than Barkley? Maybe not. He's that. And Ross was like, I got to say, though, guys, he's five. We had the stat at the time, 5.4 or something yards per carry after contact. Maybe make somebody miss once. So I loved that. Yeah. And on ADP chasing the following Tuesday, I brought it up. And the looks I got from my three guys when was Ross entirely joking? Maybe not, but it's funny, right? You laughed. It's
sure.
funny.
Yeah.
He might not have been entirely joking, but I mentioned, like, yeah, I was talking to Ross Tucker, and he had this line about Gentry where he brought up 5.3 yards per carry after contact. He's like, can't he make somebody miss once? And I got, like, blank stares from my guys. Like, wait a minute, what? Pat Gray was like, what? He was the best ever at making guys miss. I'm like, all right, slow down. A, it wasn't me saying it. B, I just thought it was funny.
Right.
I don't think you take Ross too seriously on this one.
I didn't fact check this before you brought it to the panel, and the panel didn't seem to appreciate it very much.
They did not like it at all.
Right.
They were taken aback,
right?
To say the least.
Well, sure. Different conferences. The guy from Central Florida was playing in the Mountain West, probably, and the kid from Boise was in the ACC, I imagine, right? Is that how that worked?
Yes. Central Florida made the Big 12, actually.
Of course they did.
Really? They're in the Big 12.
Okay. And Boise's in the Mountain West.
Yeah.
Although they will be in the revived Pac-12 in 2026.
The revived Pac-12. All right. Good. At least it's West.
How bad a job is it that I am never paying attention to any of that ever again?
Nope, it's healthier.
I'm just never...
Can't do conferences.
I can't do conferences. I can't even... I'm going to want to know how the playoff is going to work. But they there was reports about a change.
Yeah, it's going to be 1 through 12.
But there was another new thing today that the SEC really likes this idea. And it's just like, stop. I barely knew how it worked before you started messing with everything. Now you're changing it after 1 year and there's another change maybe? Like, I got to change the channel. I can't. I don't have the space. I need a new hard drive.
The show has never sounded older.
Good God.
Let's then just never change anything.
About sports, I would sign for that right now. Just keep...
Everything stays the same forever.
Just stop.
No expansion.
Stop adding layers of replay.
That sounds good. No sky refs. No more sky refs.
No.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We'll just leave it as is forever.
Yes.
We're not realigning divisions.
Nope.
We're not changing the NHL playoff format.
Yeah, I would, fine.
Oh, you'll take the overall.
I will take the overall. The overall is I don't have to learn anything new about the stuff you're doing to try to prop yourself up and get our attention even more so than you already have it. I mean, I'm already eating out of the trough like 24/7 as it is, sports. You don't have to keep making me, oh, here, we'll try this. This is different. Maybe you'll like it more. I'm fine. I like it enough.
I'll just politely ask anybody listening if they'd like to put a change idea past Bulldog and see if he'll buckle. We're not moving the PGA Championship back to August?
Nope.
We're not.
We're just fine right where we are.
We're still allowing blanks in the Grand Slam of curling events?
Sure.
Even two in a row?
Whatever that means, sure. Yep, all good. Big one was the playoff. You slipped the playoff seating past me in the NHL. I'm not going to blink at anything.
Goalie interference? Any way to clarify it?
Who cares?
Who cares?
Anything goes.
Offside challenge?
My kid's not a goalie anymore. I don't care. Go smash into the goalie.
Saw a little bit of that in lacrosse over the weekend.
Yeah.
largely go uncalled. What did I say? Offside challenge? How about the proposal by the Lions recently at the owners' meetings to eliminate all Boston teams?
Ooh, I didn't hear about that one.
That didn't get reported very why it didn't really get out. Proposal to eliminate all Boston sports teams. No, you like the Red Sox.
I still like the Red Sox, yeah. I mean, if I have to have a team that I like, I guess it's them still.
This would mean your team would never move. No team would ever move.
Right.
Replay in baseball, you're not going to care about that. Traveling is still legal in basketball.
Sure.
Take as many steps as you want.
All these years, I mean, why change now?
Yeah. We're not about to see a return of a proliferation of three-second violations.
Here's what I propose. I would be open to change, but we're going to have to negotiate. So you want to change the seating? Then I get to pull something that I would be living with if everything stood still and never changed. So hockey, want to realign the divisions? Get rid of the offside challenge. Little yin yang here. Wash my back, I wash yours. I will listen to reason. You have a good idea. I'm just going to want to get rid of something that is a scourge on the sports landscape, which the offside challenge is still maybe the most egregious, disgusting thing that's ever happened to a sport I love.
You want one thing different? I get to change my thing then.
Right.
Well, you suddenly have a lot of power in this.
I love that. I'm settling in. I mean, it's only been a couple of minutes since I was appointed czar of all of sportsdom, but I think I like this idea.
You take your missiles out of Cuba, I'll take mine out of Turkey.
Fine.
Speaking of czar, almost.
All right.
Czar adjacent.
You take
your missiles out of Cuba, I'll take mine out of Turkey,
I'm an understanding, compassionate czar.
But you can't tell any... We're not going to mention that I'm doing it. We're not going to mention that I'm taking the missiles out of Turkey. What's going to be public is you're taking your missiles home from Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
But mine are good. I'm telling you,
on my honor. Yeah.
Right. But we're not going to mention it.
Right.
For at least a couple of years. Deal? Think of how much anxiety could have been saved right there. Boom. It wasn't not an original idea. those 4 days in October, 1962.
Yeah. Somebody listened to a podcast today.
No. Wait, I did. What was it? I was on one. It was Purple Insider. You want to think maybe that came, the Cuban Missile Crisis came up on Purple Insider?
You never know. That Collar, he's pretty well-rounded.
He is. Oh, thanks. Yeah, no, he is. And, yeah, that's about it. I didn't really do much else.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Again, the invitation is out there.
Yeah.
If you have a sports change idea that you think would convince Bulldog to just sort of lighten up on these changes, let's hear it. No boats during no boat rides during OTAs. Get to work. No, voluntary is voluntary.
I don't need that. I mean, maybe not have the video of you reaching into your pocket to pull an illicit substance out. That might be, but you know, boat, fine. I got no problem with the boat.
Poor boat.
Last time the NFL in boats, like it's Beckham as a young guy with the Giants, right? Before the playoffs, and they're on a boat.
He was teammates before they played Green Bay,
right?
I believe it was. Yes, You got to say this for Diggs. He's not worried about consequences, is he? Take your pictures. This is my new girlfriend. Here are 50 other women on the boat. Whatever the pink stuff is,
he's
not worried about it. I'm sure
at least in that moment. That's right. He did not seem like, hey, shut this down.
Right. No, there's no sign of that.
Right.
I don't know. He probably thought about what could happen and said, okay, I'm going. Just like Beckham.
I wonder if he wants it back.
No, Diggs never wants it back. That guy never wants it back. No. He wants it out. He wants it double out. He wants everybody to know. He wants you to show your friends that video. He wants everybody to see it. Right? I mean, the ego. Holy cow, it's out of control there. He wants everybody to see that video. Definitely not worried about consequences.
I think he portrays himself as that way, and I'll bet he wishes that was not out there.
Really?
Yeah.
How could he think that? How could he have been so naive to think like that?
I don't know. In the moment, maybe he didn't care, but afterward, I would think you feel kind of like, I didn't need this for that to happen.
I didn't need that to happen. I disagree with that. I feel like he is the type where he wants, I mean, there have been stories about him forever. He must not be too afraid of stuff getting out about him. I don't know. 803-0550. We talked about Diggs at the beginning, some drama, to put it gently, at the Patriots today. The Patriots coach, Mike Vrabel, doesn't seem real pleased. We will look for your calls again after a break. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. This is WGR. I didn't forget. It didn't come up in the flow of conversation there before when the Cuban Missile Crisis did.
Yeah.
I'm accountable for that.
Well, I mean, you're sitting in a room with the newly appointed czar of all sportsdom. You know, that's going to take precedence.
I guess. I had to make it a little bit Soviet.
In the end, yes.
In the end.
Well.
I mentioned before, I think there's a team we've been soft on in the reverse AFC power rankings. Because right now, I just don't see it. And I think more and more I find myself imagining being a fan of these teams. Like with Diggs today, I'm thinking, how would I feel as a Patriots fan? I think I don't know. I'd very, very likely regret it. But today I'd be like, good riddance. I never liked you. I don't need you. 31 off a torn ACL. And I got Vrabel here. You got to embarrass him.
Right.
Just get out of here. Indianapolis. How does that feel right now? We didn't talk about Ursay's death. I don't know what there is to say, but the owner died. I think maybe, respectfully, fans might have mixed feelings about that.
We never really did even mention it. It feels like the public persona versus who he really was to the people in the organization were two very different things.
Yeah, he got a lot of credit after he died for who he was.
Yeah, and really outwardly, he was sort of seemed, I think, from a distance, like a caricature. Just like a rich guy who just doesn't give a blank about anything. So I don't know what that, you know, what sort of void that leaves in the organization and what sort of stability there is moving forward or any of that. But, I mean, it certainly could be a significant development that he's not at the helm of the ship anymore.
Well, he was, I mean, publicly, at certain times, a buffoon. I mean, he thought Andrew Luck wasn't tough enough. Like, he was vocal about that even. He, you know, was on Twitter in the middle of the night on random nonsense. Just like, when, you know, it's... It can always be looked at on a personal way. Somebody dies, but this is somebody you didn't know. And if his meaning in your life was that he owned your favorite sports team and you felt that he was in the way of it being good, it happens. You know, you sort of look at it in a non-personal sort of way.
Overall, the Colts were, it didn't take me long to arrive at them as a suggestion for this when you mentioned this half an hour or so ago, whenever you did. I thought, because what are the chances that Daniel Jones ends up as their opening day starter?
80%,
right,
I think.
Right.
That I wasn't even thinking about Ursay when I brought it up. I just remembered that we didn't even mention him.
Right, yeah.
Yes. I think it's like 80%. They're talking about, it's what time of year is it? It's the time of year where if you really want to dig into football and learn anything, you've got to listen very carefully or read very carefully the coach's words. And even that can be fruitless, but that gives you a chance at learning something about the plan. And their guy is talking about consistency. And that is just not going to be Anthony Richardson.
No.
So I think he is done with Anthony Richardson. And the idea that your favorite team is bringing in Daniel Jones to do what?
Stabilize things? Improve things?
Why would you bother?
Right. Neither of those seem like good ideas.
It's a Giants thing where maybe now the owner's death makes this more possible that the coach is going to try to win 7 games. And Daniel Jones, he thinks, has some chance of doing that, whereas Anthony Richardson could win him 3. What a blown pick. Picks, you know, sometimes, of course, they don't work out. What chance did the Colts give it? Flacco. I mean, how many games did this guy get? 4th overall. It's different than even Manuel.
Yeah, listen, I'm not saying that they shouldn't give him more time, but I make it all about the one thing. But the one thing is like one of the most horrendous things I've ever heard about a football player. He doesn't know how it works. That in and of itself, I feel like, he's the 4th pick, but I cannot give you the ball. I just can't give you the ball. How many other things behind closed doors is he clueless about if he doesn't know to not take himself out of a game in the middle of a drive because he's tired? I'm giving them – look, they blew it, but I'm giving them a lot of room because Lord knows what we don't know about what he doesn't know if he doesn't know that.
Okay.
But Daniel Jones is a horrible
Daniel Jones, I mean, come on, though, of all names here. Some of these Browns guys, Flacco is one of them. We just did that. Pickett, I think I could sooner talk myself into Kenny Pickett than Daniel Jones.
I definitely could. I would.
Dalton, was he there? Was he already been in Indianapolis?
I'm not sure I'm going to run with you on Dalton.
Been a lot of places.
Yeah.
It'd be so depressing. And, you know, I'm often thinking about all this in the context of, like, this job. So it'd be like, oh, Sal, how do you look today? Well, pretty good. I mean, he can move and, you know, he threw the ball 4 yards 7 times in a row successfully. I mean, of course, Sal couldn't actually be so specific.
Right.
But, guys, I mean, he's won a playoff game, which is true. Oh, it would make me crazy. Yeah. I mean, there are so many NFL teams right now. I feel so lucky to not have to talk about on the day-to-day. The Steeler thing with Rodgers would just make me nuts. I would want to treat it like sometimes I want to treat the Sabres, which is to ignore it on purpose, which, you know, you really don't want to do, but
it's
you
tempting.
Want to do it.
Yep.
Just some of these teams, you know, not all, but Indianapolis would be really hard for me to just not want to come to work every day and rip them for Richardson. And then now the owner dies, so nobody wants to hear that. I mean, nobody wants to hear, like, that's insensitive now, right? Because that happened, and that would be a tricky one. 803-0550 is the number. A lot of teams that I think we should be really glad, we probably are, that we're not at this point. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, lines are open for you. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.